Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Jen Duffy, and thanks so much for joining us tonight for the debut of the Happy Healthy Hour. Callers can dial in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you want to be on the air and placed in the queue. I'll be taking questions, comments, and ideas from the audience throughout. Again, that number is 646-716-9397. So today's topic is about being healthy and happy on a budget and time crunch. We're so busy these days, and, you know, everyone wants to put their health first, but it's really hard. You know, there's constantly another thing to do, or you're on the go, and also everyone's watching their wallets these days. And so today we're going to talk about these sort of challenges everyone faces in three main areas. One, eating. Basically, we're going to talk about eating more real food. You know, you are what you eat. Two, exercising. Eventually, we all need to be moving our bodies more. We've gotten to such a sedentary lifestyle, but how do you do that when you have limited time? And again, you know, some gyms are expensive. There's lots of great things out there, but it can often be a function of time and money. And energizing. And in this topic, energizing is a bit more broad. That's really about self-care. And that's, you know, taking care of yourself and really finding ways to give yourself energy as opposed to constantly being depleted of your energy. And so I'm looking forward to getting into those topics with everyone. But before we get started, you know, I just wanted to take a moment and dedicate this premiere episode to my mom. She and I have been interested in health and wellness for a really long time. You know, over the past 15 years or so, we've gone on retreats and gone to lectures and workshops and shared recipes and ideas and, you know, very excited about this topic for a long time. And then about 3 years ago, we finally decided to go to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition together, or commonly known as IIN, to become health coaches. And it was such an incredible experience to do it together and to have these incredible lecturers and teachers. And, you know, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity. My mom went on to start a wellness center in our town where she coaches people about nutrition and overall wellness and then also teaches restorative and therapeutic yoga. Whereas me, I've pretty much been more of a side chair coach, mostly, you know, with my family and friends and just in my own everyday pursuit of health and wellness. But over the last few months, my mom's been dealing with a very serious health challenge, and I could not be more inspired by her. And in fact, you know, being so healthy as she was and her knowledge has really, really helped her tremendously through this. And she's just remained even more committed to be healthy and have a very positive outlook. And sometimes, no matter what you do, there are things in life you just don't have control over, and you get the cards that you're dealt. But what you can control is your outlook and what you choose to do in response to what life throws at you. And so when the opportunity became part of this network, my mom said very emphatically to me, "You have to do it. There is so much information to share, and we all need to be supported and encouraged in the quest to be healthier." And she's right, and then that's what health coaching is really about, to spread the message and empower people to take control of their health and their bodies and their lives and be happier and healthier. And, you know, I hope this is what the Happy Healthy Hour becomes to be about. Supporting and encouraging each other on this journey to be healthier, and that we can inspire each other and find new ways and share ideas. And, you know, you can learn from me each episode, and I can learn from you, and we can shift the norms and influence the way that we make decisions about our health and share this knowledge with kids and teens and the next generation, and really inspire and make change in the health of our communities. With that said, let's have a little fun, and let's start with a little feature I'm going to do each episode called What I'm Drinking Now. And for some of you, you might be excited or at happy hour right now and think, actually, you know, I'm going to give you some cocktail recipes. calm down. I'm fully supportive of, you know, cocktails if you're of age and don't have any, you know, pre-existing health indications or anything or any doctor's instructions not to. But we're going to focus on some specialty juices, smoothies, or mocktails to just lighten things up in terms of the calories and the sugar and just overall have some drinks that are very energizing, nourishing, and full of good, healthy ingredients. So today I've made myself a watermelon mint mocktail. It's been really rainy and cold in New York, and I just needed something frothy to take me on, transport me to vacation. And thankfully, the sun is out now and shining today. I think the weather's been crazy all over the place. And so in this watermelon mint mocktail, it's so easy. And I also chose to use something with mint because this week we actually picked up our first shipment from our CSA. And for those of you not familiar with CSA, it's Community Supported Agriculture. And so our members of the community can support a local farm by directly buying from the farm. So we signed up for weekly vegetable and fruit shipments from about June to November. They usually run just basically during the season, and each week you get kind of an assortment of veggies and fruits. You don't always know what you're going to get. It's very much based on what's growing and what's in season, and it's a really great way to get some produce in your life and support the local farmers. And in exchange, too, the CSA members will often volunteer to do one of the pickup locations and get involved in some way. They vary from CSA to CSA. Different ones have different requirements. You know, they cost different. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the show later on in the eating section. I'll give you some ways to find out more information if you're interested. But we're going to use that mint up today, and I basically just threw about 10 mint leaves, 2 thick slices of watermelon, just kind of cubed up, a handful of ice in the blender, mixed it all up, and poured it in a glass, garnished with a little mint, or you could do a paper umbrella, and there's my healthy cocktail or mocktail for the day. So next episode, I will debut another fun drink that you can make using some healthy ingredients. So now onto the heart of our program. Let's talk about eating first. So when people think about nutrition and being healthy, often food is the first thing that does come to mind. And understandably, I mean, you need food to live. It's fuel. What you eat directly turns into your cells, and it's really important to consider what you eat. It's very true, again, that old adage, you are what you eat. But it's overwhelming right now, I think, the number of choices of food that's out there, and knowing what's healthy and what's not, and then just the notion of, you know, the time sometimes it can take to prepare. Not everyone has a lot of time to cook, and you know, cooking is a really great way to eat more healthily and more inexpensively. Eating out can get to be a bit costly, and you also don't always know what's in your food, especially in terms of, you know, hidden calories and salts and sugars. And it really is great if you can, for the most part, try to control your choices. And a couple ways you can do that really is, number one, by planning. And stock up on groceries for the week when you can. It really makes a difference. And, you know, some of this information is going to seem basic. And that's why, again, I'm, you know, hoping we can, you know, exchange ideas and share. But it's also helpful sometimes to be reminded of it and focus on the things that you need to do for the week. And that's stocking up on those groceries, making a list, going to store, and getting things in the house that you need so you're not constantly having to run out to the store or, oh, we have nothing in, so let's order a pizza and things like that. So when you plan and have an idea of the recipes you're going to make for the week, that gives you a leg up on feeling like you have some more time to put those things in the oven, put them in the slow cooker, plan. One of my favorite things to do is make multiple meals out of a meal. And so this year I discovered the notion of putting a whole chicken in the slow cooker. Maybe other people have known to do that for years. I discovered it recently, and I think it's just genius. I love it. You just take your whole chicken, and, you know, my preference is to use organic chicken. I think it's very important to know what's in your food and make sure that you're getting the highest quality meats and vegetables that you can afford. So, you know, no one needs to bankrupt themselves eating healthy. There's a lot of ways to do it where you're not doing it, but I do encourage people to spend as much money as they can afford on their food and really look at your priorities, because what you eat determines your health. And you know, you'd rather be spending the money now in your food than later in doctor's bills and high-priced medications and, you know, when you're, you know, have to slow down because you don't feel as good. So it's worth sometimes making those choices in the immediate and trying to find ways to rearrange your budget so that you are prioritizing high-quality items. So back to that organic chicken. You know, a thoroughly organic chicken or, you know, a whole chicken, just pretty lightly seasoned with some lemon, salt, pepper, really not having to get too fancy. And I throw in the slow cooker at night, and then in the morning I take it out. And you can use that chicken. It's literally falling off the bone. It's fantastic. And just, you know, very, you know, low in fat, good source of protein. And you can have that chicken for dinner at night. And then you can use the residual juice that is in the chicken to make chicken stock. And if there's leftover chicken, you can also make a chicken salad very quickly where you just, you know, toss it lightly with some mayo, chop up some nuts, maybe a green apple or celery, throw that in there, some fresh dill. If you have it, dried dill is fine too. And there's a lunch. And then you make your chicken stock, and then you can make soup. So looking for ways with your meals where you can get multiple meals out of it. So you're not necessarily cooking every day, but you're eating home-cooked food every day. And so that's a really great way where if you plan and then prepare, you can take those meals for lunches, you can just reheat leftovers, and it's a pretty easy solution. So I recommend everyone investing in a slow cooker if they don't already have one. There's some great models out there. You don't necessarily have to get, you know, a super top-of-the-line one. You can check out the reviews on, you know, Amazon. And also some glass storage containers, because then that way you can store food, freeze things in advance, and have food at the ready when you just don't have time to cook. And like I was saying before, I think it's very important to buy the highest quality that you can afford with your meats and your vegetables. And in, if you need to eat less of it, that's a good way sometimes to be able to get the higher cuts of meat and grass-fed meat when available and organic chickens, again, when available. And you can make it stretch out a little bit. So you don't need to necessarily just sit down and have a big piece of whatever. You can substitute it. And really, it's a good idea to do so with lots of veggies and mix it in. So it's not the featured attraction, your protein, but you're really getting to up your vegetable intake that way. So for example, with meat, if you buy, you know, good grass-fed stew meat, add tons of veggies, add mushrooms, and the bulk and the density of the stew will really be satisfying and satiating, and you won't even realize that maybe you're eating a little less meat than maybe you used to. And the same thing over putting it over a leafy green salad. If you, you know, cook up some chicken breasts and you put that over a salad that has tons of veggies. So you put some broccoli, some peppers, some mushrooms, some avocado, everything in there. And that way you're going to be very satiated by what you're eating, and you're going to get tons of good nutrients from the vegetables and the other sources of nutrients, and less dependent on that protein. It's kind of a shifting in the way that the American plate and the American diet is going. And it's a good shift if we all head in that way, because it's a much healthier option. And so as I was mentioning before, I had gotten some produce this week from the farmer's market. Well, actually not from the farmer's market, but from a CSA that we recently joined. And farmer's markets are actually a great way to get some of your produce. And a lot of areas have farmer's markets. And I think areas that hadn't are catching on and wanting to bring it to their communities, because they realize that it's a win-win. It supports the local farmers, and then it also provides access to good, inexpensive vegetables for the community. And so if you go to eatwellguide.org, again, that's eatwellguide.org, that's a website that I've been recommended to check out and have referred to other people, and that will help you find farmers markets and CSAs in your area. And it'll also tell you what's in season. And again, that's another way to maximize and stretch your dollars, is by eating what's in season. Because what's being flown in from somewhere else is going to cost more, it's going to be more expensive, it's not going to be as fresh or as good. And so if you focus on what's in season, you'll actually save some money and the overall taste is going to be better. And, you know, I think sometimes there's a common misconception that to be healthy, you have to go to the healthy food markets. And yes, you're going to find a ton of great options at a health food store, but your regular supermarket actually can be a treasure trove of healthy foods. I think sometimes the notion of eating healthy lends itself to being really complicated, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. You know, I think a lot of people are familiar with Michael Pollan's Food Rules book, and that book is great. It's a must-read, I think, for a lot of people who are interested in changing their diet and being healthier, because it's so simple, and it's really just common sense, and it breaks it down in a very easy way to understand that, you know, going back to the basics of eating real, whole, unprocessed foods, fruits and vegetables, and, you know, shopping the perimeter of the supermarket. I know a lot of people have heard that, and, you know, what exactly that means is, you know, there's thousands of products introduced every year, and we don't necessarily need all those products. There's a lot just that you can work with the basics and keep it pretty simple and save money in buying packaged and prepared foods and make your own. And so in a regular supermarket, you can often find organic options. You can find, you know, a lot of your spices and herbs that you need to cook. And you can also find organic meats and chickens, too. It just sometimes takes a little bit more time to suss out in the regular supermarket because sometimes it's just crowded with lots of options that really aren't so healthy for you. And so what I recommend is when you have a chance, not when you're frantically running in because you need to pick up one or two things and, you know, you're squeezed between appointments and picking up the kids and letting out the dog and all those things that make our lives so busy and hectic. If you have a little bit more time, go to your supermarket and just spend a little time mapping it out and getting the lay of the land and read a bit more and figure out. So then the next time when you go, you know where all your go-to healthy options are and you can, you know, do your little quick running out. And, you know, just by having that time to acclimate and do a little bit more of, oh, okay, this nitrate-free bacon was actually wedged in between the 20 other brands and kinds that we have. So that way you can use your regular supermarket more and not feel like, you know, the only way is to go to the healthy market that might be out of your way in another town or things like that. And so a big question, too, that I think everyone has about healthy eating is organic or not. And I know I've referenced organic a few times and the notion that you should buy the best food quality you can afford. But not everything has to be organic. And in fact, you really don't need to buy all your fruits and vegetables organic. And this has definitely been some information that's getting more widely shared, and many of you may already know this, but a good source of this information to know what you should buy organic and what you shouldn't, or you don't have to, is at the Environmental Working Group. And that you can find at www.EWG, so the acronym for environmentalworkinggroup.org. And they have these great shopper's guides that will list the dirty dozen is what they're called, the fruits and vegetables that because of their pesticide load, you really should buy organic wherever possible. And then the clean 15, which are the ones where, you know, conventionally grown, locally grown, it's fine and it'll be okay. I mean, typically the thicker skin fruits and vegetables like bananas and avocados are fine to not buy organic. You know, but I also think that we don't want to get too hung up, and other health coaches might disagree with me, but I do think at the end of the day you don't want to get too hung up because a banana is still better than a bag of chips. And so when you're reaching for a snack and you're not, you know, entirely sure of oh, is it on this list, going with the fruit or vegetable option is going to be a wiser choice than a candy bar or something that's meant to sit on the shelf or has been, you know, manufactured in a factory that you can't really even pronounce half the ingredients. So going with the healthier option and adding those really critical fruits and vegetables to your diet is important. And, you know, the standard American diet, or SAD as it's commonly referred to, does not include nearly enough of the fruits and vegetables that we need to be eating. And, you know, I think people who eat tons of fruits and vegetables just notice a difference when they don't. And I think once you make a move to try and do that, you feel so much better that you want to keep doing it. But again, it's a challenge. You have to plan ahead. You have to put those few pieces of whole fruit in your bag if you're going to be on the go so that you have that and resist maybe temptation when you're in your office meeting and there's a plate of cookies at the meeting and you reach in your bag and you pull out your orange or your bag of almonds that you made at home. And so planning ahead, you know, will help you stave off some of that temptation because we're inundated. It's constant. We're barraged by healthy, not healthy options. And so, you know, you have to really have some, you know, fortitude to resist sometimes, unless, you know, you are a fortunate one to be surrounded with like-minded individuals and, you know, around in a community where everyone is pretty committed to healthy eating and living. And, you know, ultimately that would be the goal, to shift the norm that way. But in a lot of places, that's not the everyday. So we have to kind of work against the tide and think ahead and inform ourselves and make good choices constantly and encourage others and who are on this journey too to make those choices. Another thing that comes up is frozen versus fresh. And I think buy fresh when you can, but what I hate, and I've done in the past plenty of times, I've bought a ton of fresh vegetables and fruits, and I have great grandiose ideas of all my cooking for the week, and for whatever reason, maybe I didn't plan ahead properly or something unavoidable came up, and something spoils or goes bad, and you have to throw that out because it's just not, you can't eat it. And that is the worst. I hate throwing out food. It sickens me to do so, but you can't eat spoiled food and take the risk of getting sick. So by planning better, you can alleviate that. And then also kind of having your backup reserve. So you don't necessarily err on the side of overbuying. You can augment with having some frozen fruits and vegetables that you have on hand. My preference is the frozen fruits and vegetable option and not the can. I know there's a lot of debate about the BPA levels in the can, so I think frozen's a pretty good backup option. And particularly, you know, if you start your day with a smoothie, which is a great way to get nutrients on the go and just put a bunch of stuff and mix it in that blender and just carry it out, and you've got your breakfast in a mug and you can move along and just pack it all in. Frozen fruit works great because then you always have it on hand. They sell organic fruits and vegetables in regular supermarkets, and it actually makes your smoothie great because it's cold and you don't even need to add ice and water it down, and you can put a bunch in mixed berries, banana, chia seeds, all that good stuff can go right in there. It's just a great, great way to start your day. Another aspect of eating is sometimes why we eat is sometimes because we're dehydrated. Americans are notoriously bad. The average person is not drinking nearly enough water than we should. And we're very fortunate because we have great clean water sources that we can access to drink the water. It's just we go about our days and forget to drink that water. And so I think getting a stainless steel water bottle and carrying that around with you is a fantastic option. If you don't like water, add some lemons, add some cucumbers, add some strawberries, other citrus fruit, you know, that will give it a little bit of a flavor without adding sugar and calories and junk. And you'll notice you'll save money when you ditch some of those sugary drinks. And I think there's you go somewhere, you buy your lunch, and, oh, I have to buy a drink too. You don't need those sweetened teas or the soda. You don't really need any of that. It's I think you become sort of psychological that you reach for it. But water is great, and it'll keep you hydrated. It's great for your skin. It's great for your digestion. And drinking water all day long is just such a great way to feel energized, to stave off those unwanted, you know, munchies that you get because it's more likely that you might be just needing more water, and save money because, again, you're drinking water and you don't need a lot of the other stuff. In fact, you know, I pretty much stopped buying coffee drinks, and the cost savings from that has been, you know, incredible. And, you know, I drink teas and water, and it saves money, and you feel good. So I know a lot of people are already on the water bandwagon, but if you're not, it's something that is talk about the virtues of water enough, so I'll move on. Anyway, I've also gotten questions in the past of what about some kitchen staples, like things you should just have on hand. And as I mentioned before, I love our slow cooker. A blender, I think, is a must. And again, you don't need to buy the Rolls Royce of these appliances. You can check out the reviews, see what works in your price point. And if you find it's something you're really using a lot, then maybe at a later date you want to upgrade and make the investment. But there are a lot of great ones at a low price point that you can get started on. Good set of knives is key, especially if you're chopping up lots of fruits and vegetables. It'll save you time. It'll just make things a lot easier. And again, those glass storage containers. And I think those are some good things to work with. I also really like nonstick stainless steel cookware. I'm constantly sauteing. It's a really great way to cook veggies. You can just mix mushrooms and tomatoes and peppers and all sorts of things in the pan. Just put it in, stir it around. You've got your veggies. But they're flavorful too. You know, years ago, I think, at least in my family, a lot of things that my grandmother cooked before sometimes was really just a lot about boiling. I think a lot of people used to boil their vegetables, and you know, a lot of the good nutrients would sometimes seep out in the cooking water. So to the extent you can eat your vegetables raw in salads, or if you can kind of cook them a little bit less. And you know, I cannot stress enough what we were saying earlier about the package and prepare foods. You know, that's where you also get a lot of cost savings from not buying those foods and just using your own seasonings and spices and not buying tons of condiments and, you know, for example, salad dressings. If there's one you really love and you have to have it in your life and it's the only way that you'll eat your greens, you know, that's what it is. You know, we're all different and there's no one diet for all of us and you have to find what works right for you. But if you can, a great way to switch is just to mix your own. I haven't bought a salad dressing in a really long time, and I eat salads multiple times a day. Maybe not multiple, but sometimes two. Often two. And one of my favorite ways to dress my salad is just olive oil, lemon juice, salt, pepper, a little sea salt, pepper, and some fresh or dried herbs. And you can just mix and match a little bit depending on what you like, what you're inclined to seasons-wise. And then you just toss your greens with it, or just even squeeze on some citrus sometimes is a great way to add a little flavor. And with fresh herbs, you know, they don't last as long. So it's good to have dried herbs at your ready, and then buy the fresh herbs, you know, when you know you're going to be using them. And at some point in time on this show, we're going to have an organic gardening expert on to talk about growing and cooking with herbs. So I hope you'll spend some time and look into that and share some more information on a future show. So at this time, I just want to remind everyone, if you're just tuning in, that you are listening to the Happy Healthy Hour on the Life Coach Radio Network. And listeners can call in to 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397, and press 1 if you'd like to be on the air and talk to me, and we will take comments and questions as people are interested in doing so. So I think we've covered a lot of really helpful tips on eating and talked a little bit about what some options are out there for eating healthier and not having to spend a ton of time and money, and ways you can plan a little bit more to make sure that you have control of these things. You're not always dependent on, you know, buying things out and eating out or grabbing on the go. You know, Michael Pollan's book I mentioned before. And again, I don't know Michael Pollan, and I just happen to be a fan of the book. So not plugging anything here. All opinions expressed on the show are my own opinions. But, you know, he says, don't buy your food while you buy your gas. And I think that's so true, too. You know, the convenience store, there's not a whole lot in there that wasn't, again, made in a factory and meant to sit on a shelf for a long time. And how long does it sit in your body when you eat something that has tons of trans fat and just not good ingredients? So eat those leafy greens. You'll feel better. And just add the fruits and vegetables. So we're going to talk now a little bit about exercising. And, you know, a reminder, if you have, and again with food as well, if you have any special medical issues or restrictions, always talk to your doctor, you know, and follow, you know, the special instructions that your doctor may have given you with respect to exercise and eating, especially if you're on medications, so that there's no issues. And before, if you haven't been exercising, you're going to start a new exercise plan, it always is a good idea to check in with a medical doctor. But, you know, there's some really basic things that don't mean, okay, I'm going to now overhaul my fitness regime and have to log in 2 hours a day at the gym. It's really about moving more. We sit so much between driving and sitting at computers and sitting on couches that simply adding in more movement in your day will really help your overall health and wellness. And you'll feel better and you'll feel less creaky. And sitting so long is just it's not good for our bodies. But how do you kind of rally against that when that's what your schedule is like and what the sort of prevailing norm is. And so one of the ways you can do that is to schedule it in. Put it on your calendar. Put exercising in on your calendar like you would put any other appointment. And don't break it just because it's something for you. You know, take advantage of that time and put your health as a priority. I think often, particularly caregivers, moms, people caring for aging parents or sick children or whomever, really skimp on the time that they take caring for themselves, and understandably, but you can only give as much as you have. And when you take care of yourself, you have a lot more to give. And it doesn't need to be, again, a lot of time. It can even simply be just a 10-minute walk, a couple 10-minute walks spurs throughout the day. But it really boils down to making the choice and making it a priority. The dishes and the laundry will always be there. You can always find another thing on your to-do list to do. Our to-do lists are a mile long. There will always be something on it in lieu of exercising. But you need to choose exercising. And, you know, you can do a lot of things at your home. You know, I know it's great to join a gym and go out there, and I think there's a lot of great gyms that offer great classes and trainers, and it's, you know, great to be around other people working out. And if it's on your way home or on your way to work, it can often be pretty easy to fit it in. But that's not always the case for everyone. And particularly, too, traveling. You know, I've had jobs in the past where it meant I had to spend a lot of time on the road, and that was a big challenge. And what I started doing was traveling with resistance bands. It sounds kind of goofy, and I don't think the TSA has ever checked my bags and questioned what my resistance bands were doing in there, wondering what they were. But the common packages of three often, a light, a medium, and a heavy. And you can just do some quick arm workouts, you know, do some leg lifts and things like that, and just develop some, you know, 5, 10, 15-minute routine, whatever you have to do in your hotel room. You put a towel on the floor and you go, and it helps you feel like you're still kind of engaging your muscles, even if you're running around like a crazy person and not having enough time to focus on going to the gym or exercising or just taking time for yourself. And another fabulous service, again, not endorsed by them at all or anything like that, but just things I found helpful and useful in my own life, is Yoga Glow. I used to love going to yoga classes, you know, at studios, but in the last couple of years, it's been increasingly more difficult for me to find the time. And Yoga Glow offers tons of classes that you can watch on your computer or your tablet or your, I'm not actually sure if you can do it on your mobile phone, but I know your computer is a definite. And it's pretty inexpensive. It's free as a trial initially, and then it's ends up being $18 a month, which is kind of the cost of a class in some places, depending on where you live. And that's unlimited for a whole month. You can do as many as you want. And I had never thought I could get into doing at-home yoga. I thought I would just be too distracted. But these classes are really great, and it's not like you're watching the same exercise video over and over again. You can sort by level, style, how much time you have. If you have 30 minutes, 90 minutes. And so there's very challenging classes, and then there's also very restorative, relaxing classes, and even meditations that you can do. So I think that's a good option sometimes if you are a fan of yoga, but what your challenge sometimes is getting out of the house to get the classes, because sometimes those studio schedules just don't sync up with your schedules. And one of the best, most inexpensive, actually it's free, is walking. You know, it's very easy to take a walk outside if you can, and or even, you know, doing some of those things like parking further away and just get that walking in. You know, if you're traveling, you can ask at the front desk of your hotel for a map and ask them about the safety and just make sure that you have your, you know, you carry your ID and whatever you need to do to be safe if you're by yourself somewhere, or find a colleague if you're traveling for work and you have another colleague. Say, hey, you know, let's go for a walk. If you had something you were going to talk about and, you know, you can talk and walk at the same time, the walking meeting is a great solution. And, you know, I've heard of workplaces trying to implement that more, where if it's not a super serious topic, but people just need to catch up on something and there's not necessarily the requirement to take formal notes, but just need to connect on something, go for a walk and walk and talk. And that way you're accomplishing two goals at the same time and breaking up that monotony of sitting all day long. And another really key aspect of exercise that will help you stay committed to it is making it social. I think it's a great way to get the exercise in when you're in a time crunch and you're trying to balance, you know, spending time with family and friends and getting your exercise in. You know, for some people it is kind of their time. They want the alone time, you know, the thinking time, whatever it is, and their preference really is to be alone. And that's, you know, that's fine. Like I was saying before, we're all different and individual. There's no one prescribed diet or exercise plan that works for everyone. You have to find what works for you and what you can stick to. And, you know, if you are a solo exerciser, that's great. If you are a more social person and find yourself, I'm always passing on that spin class for the after-work get-together or for the brunch with a friend, combine it. You know, go to the spin class and then have brunch with the friend. Or, you know, it's great to set an example as a parent to exercise, you know, with your kids and do things that are more active and physical so that they can see you doing that too and understanding how important it is to take care of your body. And so getting in more movement, finding ways to incorporate it in your life where you are being able to accomplish maybe more than one thing. I hate to use the word multitask because I think we've become a nation of multitaskers and aren't always so focused on the task at hand when we are trying to do too many things at once. But I think with trying to fit health in and be convenient at the same time, there's no harm in multitasking if it means you're going to get that exercise in. And so finding the things, too, that are free and accessible that you have around you and taking advantage of parks, local parks, if you have parks. I know a lot of cities now are starting bike shares, which is fantastic to have an option to. You don't need to necessarily invest in your bike, and you can hop on the bike and get more exercise that way, and it satisfies your commute. So I think we're going to move on now to the last topic of the day, which was talking about how you energize. So we've covered the eating aspect of it and talked about some ways where you can be healthier on a budget, when what prioritizing what food you need to spend more on or less on, and ways to stretch out that food budget a little bit more. We've also now talked about exercising and some really easy ways to work it into your life, as well as some lower cost ways to do it without having to spend a fortune on equipment or gym memberships or classes, things like that. And now the last topic is energizing. And I think really this is one of the most important ones that often gets overlooked. And it's also why I'm really excited that the Happy Healthy Hour is part of a Life Coach radio network, because really when you're talking about being healthy and happy, you're really talking about the whole self. You know, it's just not about the green smoothies. You know, I said this in a conversation once with a friend, and, you know, I think it's great there is more shift of attention to nutrition, because I think it's so, so important, and it is an evolving field where constantly learning new information and getting new updates on what is good and what's bad, and even that can be kind of overwhelming at times. But really the whole person has to be healthy to be healthy, and that involves the self-care aspect as well, where you're getting enough sleep and rest, and, you know, you're in healthy relationships. So that's why the being part of a Life Coach network is great. And I would really encourage our listeners to listen to some of the other shows that are out there, where there's topics covering from finance and entrepreneurship to career, to spirituality, and they're all aspects of making your life overall healthy, and that lending itself to greater happiness when, you know, there's more of a balanced approach to how you look at health as opposed to it being scale weight or, you know, what how many calories you consumed that day, but making good choices, you know, in a very wide realm of your life. And so, you know, the big thing about energizing is to find ways to mitigate the stress. I recently read a great article that cited the, I think it was the Mind-Body Medicine Institute at Mass General Hospital, and they were saying that 60 to 90% of visits to healthcare practitioners are for stress-related conditions, so anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, infertility, insomnia, you know, and that's scary, the effects that stress is having on our health. But it's hard to combat that. Everyone is increasingly more and more stressed. Job security issues, the economy, just feeling the squeeze on all fronts, you know, being plugged in 24/7, being able to get emails on your BlackBerry constantly. And so you need to seek out the ways where you get good energy and surround yourself with people who give you that good energy instead of always being depleted. And so, you know, we talk about some of the ways to make eating healthy and exercising more convenient, that's to really help minimize the energy that you have to spend on being healthy. I think sometimes people feel very daunted by being healthy and that it's going to take so much energy and it's going to be so laborious. And sometimes it can be made to feel that way. But you need to conserve your energy. You need to have enough energy to do your jobs, to support your families emotionally and be there for them and to do the things that you enjoy. And to do all of those things, it requires having good energy and also practicing some non-judgment of yourself. And I think that can also suck our energy when we feel really upset, like, oh, I can't believe I ate that today, or I haven't gone to the gym in a week, or just if you fall off, get back on. Don't beat yourself up. Don't worry about what you didn't do. Worry about what you're going to do. That next healthy meal, that next workout session, you know, that's really important. And so by not beating yourself up and not comparing yourself to a friend who drinks 3 green smoothies a day and does, you know, 90 minutes of yoga every day and then also, you know, walks 3 miles. And I mean, those are all really great things if you can do it. But the practical life of most of us doesn't always afford us that. At least, you know, right now, I think maybe people might move towards making more space to allow us for this. But we're going up against some pretty hardcore ingrained cultural norms about, you know, constantly working and not always taking the time. And so giving yourself the space and the non-judgmental attitude will help you not use that energy up by worrying about what you're not doing and just help you to look forward and know what you're going to do next. And there's a lot happening going on in the world, what they're calling the science of outlook, and really having a positive outlook and the connection and correlation to health and your happiness. And so, you know, that's really something to consider too when we talk about energizing, is that you have the power to energize yourself and how you look at an opportunity or a situation. But it's a practice. It's not something that always comes easily or naturally, and you have to work at it, you know, to be able to look at things that way. And, you know, it's very easy to fall into that slump. And so I think sometimes surrounding yourself with family and friends who are like-minded or who get it, and being able to talk to them when you feel like you're having a hard time energizing yourself to be positive and to practice gratitude and to just really have a sense of a bigger, broader picture of the world will help kind of stay the course in seeking out that good energy. And, you know, taking care of yourself doesn't mean selfish, and it doesn't, again, need to mean a lot of time or money. You know, something as simple as having a cup of tea in the afternoon and taking a moment to have that cup of tea and sit for 5 minutes in silence and solitude and just enjoy a cup of tea. Doesn't cost a lot of money, doesn't take a lot of time, but it could be a really restorative moment of your day to give you the energy you need to deal with all the demands of your life. Another great easy thing to do is to take a bath with some bath salts. You know, you can run a hot bath and throw in some, you know, lavender bath salts, sage. There's a lot of great different bath salts out there that have different properties that'll make you feel energized or really more calm. And you don't even need a bathtub to do that. You could also turn your regular shower into one of those fancy steam showers by just throwing a few of the bath salts on the floor of the shower, running it for a few minutes, and then getting inside the shower. And so a warm, soothing shower with the nice smell of bath salts and just being and calming yourself can really be a good way to energize. And, you know, going back to the notion of walking can also be energizing in the sense that you shift gears, you change the momentum. And so if you're having a really tense day, if you can get outside and take a walk for 10 minutes, it'll totally shift the energy of your day and will help you realize, okay, I need to let this go, whatever it is that's stressing you out, and try to get that good energy back and help you tackle your next task or challenge. And so these are a lot of things that will help just kind of, you know, mitigate and lessen some of the things that are constantly coming at us. I think developing a meditation practice can be really helpful. It doesn't matter what your religious beliefs or not religious beliefs are. I think simply slowing down your body, slowing down the breath can be really helpful. And there's a lot of meditations that are completely agnostic. It doesn't have to be any one thing. There's a great website called calm.com, calm.com, and it's free. You can go on and you can get a 2, 10, or 20 meditation right then and there. And you could do that at your desk. You could do it sitting on your couch. You could do it on a train and put your headphones in. There's a lot of ways you can make that so portable with your meditation practice. You might get some looks if you're on a train, if you're closing your eyes and doing some breathing, but you know what? It's better than people yelling and screaming at each other or, you know, pushing and shoving if there was some more meditation happening, I think, on commutes. But meditation is a great way to help energize and restore. And there's also a lot of scientific studies being done. You know, it's interesting to see science validating a lot of these things because I think for some people, you know, they innately feel like this feels good, so I'm going to do it. But others really want to see the data. And I kind of go back and forth between both. So I think it's great to see some of this stuff being studied and tested and being disseminated more widely and broadly. But I think you can practice meditation anywhere on your own. You can go to meditation classes. You can get some CDs online. I have one that I love called Daydreaming by the Sea because the beach for me is my happy place. But I can't go to the beach necessarily in the dead of winter, or I can, but it might be a little hard to lay on the sand and hear the soft, soothing sounds of the waves when it's 20 degrees outside. And, you know, my life is not necessarily sitting on a beach, unfortunately. It would be nice, but being able to mentally transport myself to that beach is fabulous, and there are ways you can do that. It's amazing how powerful the mind is. I think I said this earlier in the show, but it's incredible. And so it takes time to get there where you can mentally transport yourself, but it can do wonders for your health and your blood pressure, and just particularly when, you know, you've been in stress mode all day long. So I think sometimes meditating before sleep at night, if you have time and you can, is great. I know many of us, once our head hits the pillow, we're out. But if you are someone who has more trouble sleeping and suffers from insomnia or wakes up a lot in the middle of the night, doing a meditation before sleep can be really a good approach, because sleep is so critical. And that's, again, really a key way to energize yourself. And I think it's the biggest thing we sacrifice. And our culture kind of supports that, you know. People will often, you know, brag about answering emails at, you know, the middle of the night and whatnot. But sleep affects your health so significantly, and carving out time to get restful sleep when you can. You know, I have plenty of friends that are new moms, so they're probably rolling their eyes at me and laughing. But to the extent you can get that sleep, it's definitely important. So we're getting closer to the end of our show now, and I just wanted to thank everybody for listening and tuning in to the Life Coach Radio Network and to the Happy Healthy Hour with Jen Duffy. Just to sum up some of the things we talked about, all of this is up to you. You have the choice. You have the power to make healthy decisions, to change your behaviors into healthy ones, to share that with your loved ones, and to really be committed to feeling happier and being healthier. And, you know, it's a lifestyle change, but I think there are a lot of great resources out there to support you, and it's great to enlist others who share that same desire and belief to support you. And I know that encouraging each other and supporting each other to move in this direction of health will really, really help. And I hope that's the direction we're all moving to be eating healthy, to be exercising our minds and our bodies, and to be feeling energized and sending and receiving good energy. And so I hope you found today interesting and informative. If you like, you can give us some feedback at www.blogtalkradio.com/lifecoachradionetwork, and you can click the follow button, and then you can send us some messages, and then you'll be following us. So I do hope also that you'll check out some of the other shows on the Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow we have a great episode coming up. It'll be Mark Shaw and his guest, the Life Coach Radio Network executive producer, Russ Terry, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, and you'll learn how to stop struggling and rise to your highest and best contributions. And I hope you'll also check out the next Happy Healthy Hour, which will be with me on June 29th. Again, that's at the end of the month on June 29th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And also, if you have questions specifically for me or you want to sign up for future events and news, I'm eventually going to be putting out a newsletter to share some of the recipes that we talked about and some of the resources that we talk about on the show, and also links to the upcoming guests who will be on the show. You can reach me at Jennifer F, that's F as in Frank, Duffy, at gmail.com. Again, Jennifer F. Duffy at gmail.com. And so I think that's it for today, and I thank you all again for tuning in and listening to this first premiere episode of the Happy Healthy Hour. And I wish you all a very happy and healthy weekend. Take care.